Yes, there is ample evidence to sustain the argument that World War III has begun. It is underway. Incrementally, day by day, week by week, it's moving closer. Something big is going to result from this, all of this evil that the Western satanic Bolshevik Zionist governments have concocted and thrown at Ukraine. Ukraine was overthrown by Zionists, remember that. They didn't have a representative government there. The legitimate head of state was forced out, he was overthrown, and the Zionists took it over. Keep that in mind at all times. And remember the sacrifice of at least 400,000 human souls, and maybe 40, 50,000 Russian dead, I don't know, but 400,000, and some are saying that may be conservative, substantially so, maybe 500,000. Ukrainian, mostly men, white Christian men, slaughtered, dead, almost 500,000, dead. That was made possible and directly instrumented by the money we have sent and put into the Ukraine Zionist war machine. We caused the deaths of those people. We are guilty of a Holocaust of white young men and women in the Ukrainian military. We paid for it. Had we not given them the money, none of this would have happened, or very little of it. So we got to wear that. We own that. That's not you and I, but that's this horrible regime that has overthrown this country. 150 billion, and think of how many homeless there are. Think of how many Americans are in need and what that 150 billion might have done for our people. I think you get the picture. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back. Things are not getting better. Yeah.
No, they're not. We continue to drift towards nuclear war. So tonight, let me start with the war on Americans. Okay, the Bolshevik pedophile Biden regime is not just taking peace from the world, it is actively attacking the American Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the American people. Like any other dictatorship, they have subverted American democracy by rigging the elections of 2018, 2020, and 2022. They are rigging the Democratic primary by disregarding the will of Democratic Party voters by rigging the primary process against Bernie Sanders in 2016, against Tulsi Gabbard in 2020, and against Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for 2024. After an assassination attempt in Los Angeles, not 2 miles from where his father was assassinated in 1968, the disgusting pedophile Biden refused to grant Robert Kennedy Secret Service protection. After all, the CIA murdered both his uncle John F. Kennedy and his father, and there's no point in making his assassination any more difficult by giving him Secret Service protection. Only if Robert had been committing adultery with his secretary and allowed her to drown in the water to cover that fact up would Robert have the lack of integrity to be accepted as a Democratic Party leader like his Uncle Ted. The Bolshevik pedophile Biden regime has also used its Justice Department and FBI to place criminal charges on its main opposition candidate, Donald Trump, to disqualify him from being president, just like any banana republic would do. Shows that America is over. Recently, the Biden dictator regime has called on Trump to be arrested for felony charges of buying a firearm while being under federal indictment, which is the same law that the Attorney General's office avoided to make a case against the president's pedophile drug-addicted son, Hunter Biden. This law, Title 18, U.S. Code, Section 922, is the law that the government is actively using to jail any person that is not a Marxist, LGBT, person of color, or feminist. There are rarely any prosecutions against illegal aliens for violating this law. keep in mind that it is not only a felony for a prohibited person, like a convicted felon, illegal alien, drug addict, domestic abuser, and a person under indictment to possess a firearm, but they can be charged for the mere possession of a single round of ammunition, a spent cartridge case, a bullet, or a primer, or a gunpowder. So just having gunpowder or a primer on you, or just a spent round, will get you 10 years in prison. This law is used primarily against enemies of the state and not against actual criminals that threaten citizens. The fact that the United States does not, in fact, have free and fair elections signals the death of the Constitution, that our Republican Supreme Court has abdicated their constitutional duty to be a check on tyranny also signals the death of the Constitution. There are no checks and balances. We are governed by a satanic, Marxist, Zionist, sodomite executive and with an enabling Republican opposition in the Congress. They only care about us obeying them. They have no plans that are beneficial to our country or our people. Every congressman, Supreme Court justice, and executive office cabinet members are, in fact, traitors to the Constitution of the United States. The people's lack of resistance signals them that we don't really care about the Constitution or our personal freedom. We used to be a nation of sheep, but that is now more accurately a nation of slaves. The most important right that we have is the Second Amendment. It is important because if the checks and balances between the executive, judicial, and legislative branches fail to work, as it so clearly has, the only check against government tyranny remaining is the armed citizens. They are the final check, and that is the very reason for the Second Amendment. The Founding Fathers did not create this right for you to do sport shooting or hunting. They gave it to you to protect your freedom. So in September, New Mexico Marxist Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham used a public health order to ban law-abiding citizens from open carry or even concealed carry permits to carry a firearm in Bernalillo County or the city of Albuquerque. She knew that there would not be any consequences for her because there is a Democratic Party supermajority in the State House of Representatives and the Senate, and she is impeachment proof, regardless of her violating the public civil rights under the color of law. She even stated that no right is absolute, and her oath to the Constitution is not absolute either. As a public statement, okay? So last week, a poll was conducted in New Mexico to measure how people feel about the situation. So the first question, do you support the gun ban? 68% said no. But keep in mind, that means 32% are good with it, okay? So 32% are opposed to their own personal constitutional rights. And the second question, in your opinion, is a person or a gun responsible for committing a crime? 91% said a person, 9% said the gun. That there is 1 out of 10 people that thinks that guns actually kill people instead of people killing people is just amazing. In your opinion, the third question, in your opinion, how do we keep our families safe from harm? 83% said crack down on criminals. 7% said disarm, and 11% were unsure. A few days later, the disgusting Marxist pedophile Joe Biden established the new Office of Gun Violence Prevention with your tax dollars in order to work towards abolishing the Second Amendment. Folks, current gun laws are already infringed on your right to bear arms. They have to achieve this so they can do anything to us that they want. Above all, our government wants to have sex with our kids. Oddly, we seem a nation that is perfectly okay with that.
It does seem that way, Mitch. That's a good point. Yeah, hold on. There's no one's standing up. They're not. No. I'm sure there are some, but they're completely restricted from the mainstream media, so they don't exist in the minds of many who stare at that screen day in and day out. It's not there. It's not there.
Yep. It's just the way it is. I mean, that's the sheep. You know, I think now that the Constitution's gone, I think we're officially slaves now. So when the pedophile Biden made this announcement, he said, quote, "I have been to every mass shooting." No, he has not. He is never held to account. Yeah, he said that. He said, "I have been to every mass shooting." Okay.
He lives in the fantasy world now. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
I think we all live in a fantasy world because nobody, I mean, he's never held account for his delusional and absurd lies.
Sure.
We live in a post-truth era, or what Russia and China calls our empire of lies. The mantra for the post-truth era is facts are not truth. Where did they get this Orwellian nonsense from? Well, I know where they got it from. William Faulkner, who died in 1962, wrote that facts and truth don't have much to do with each other. And that's where the concept comes from. The Rollins Performance Group, a management consultant, say a true statement is not the same as a statement of truth. Now think of how Orwellian this is. A true statement is not the same as a statement of truth. Okay? So, like Orwell predicted, lies are truth, hatred is love, war is peace. This concept is the foundation for other mantras that are bending people's minds and destroying their souls. To abolish the First Amendment, they push a radical mantra, silence is violence. This is a very insidious thought contagion. It means that not only are you not permitted to say what you think, but that you must actually say what they want you to say. This is our future. If you don't parrot what they say, then it's just like saying something against them. So not saying something against them is not enough. If you don't sit out there with your and participate in the 5 minutes of hate, like Orwell says, then they're going to hunt you down. You must spout their politically correct Marxist satanic absurdities, or you are an enemy of humanity. Welcome to Mao's America. The mantra for abolishing the Second Amendment is gun violence. Fact and truth say guns never commit violence. Do we have blunt object violence or edge weapon violence? No. Only guns are capable of independently committing violence without any human being responsible. That is because guns equal freedom, and they want us to all be slaves in all of our 15-minute cities. So that's just a short thing. I mean, we probably all know that it's gone. It's over. America's over, you know. So let me go on with the war in Africa.
For our listeners out there who are saying, well, if you think that's the case, why don't you just leave? You know, there's some people think like that. But the facts are the facts. And what we're saying here is, how is this going to be reversed? How are you going to reverse it? At the ballot box? Give me a break.
No.
How are you going to reverse it? It's not reversible at this point. We've let it get away, and it happened on our watch. I'm speaking collectively.
It's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's just going to get worse. This is what all these crises are about. This world war is about actually creating the worst totalitarian state that has ever existed is what they're shooting for. Okay.
Right.
So let's go to Africa. So last week, Macron agreed to pull his diplomats out of Nigeria and said that French troops would be gone by the end of the year. You know, the French troops can get there in 48 hours. They can leave there in 48 hours, okay?
Yes.
So why
didn't
they just leave, right? So last month, France attempted a coup in Burkina Faso and released Islamic terrorists from jail to make a major attack in Burkina Faso. So why do I think that France will still invade Niger? Because Europe has cut off the abundant Russian oil pipeline, and the European economy is diving drastically because of the lack of cheap fuel. They're paying high prices for American fuel, and we're paying for them to ship it there because that's why we have high gas prices, because we're supplying Europe also. The German industrial base has been devastated by a lack of oil. So France, Algeria, Nigeria all agreed in June 2022 to complete the Trans-Sahara oil pipeline. This pipeline, owned by Nigeria, was to run from Nigeria through Niger to the Mediterranean coast of Algeria to supply 30 billion cubic meters of oil per year to Europe. That's a lot, okay? This is why President Tinubu, the Uncle Tom of Africa, wants so badly to invade Nigeria. This is why France is supplying Nigeria with armaments. This is why Tinubu insists on invading Nigeria, even though the Parliament of Nigeria voted against an invasion, even though ECOWAS voted against an invasion, and why the African Union voted against an invasion. The pipeline, which was to cross Nigeria from north to south without supplying Nigeria with any energy at all, Nigeria would get a token oil transshipment fee. Okay, so this is the real reason why France didn't do anything about Mali or Burkina Faso having a coup, but this coup is cutting off fuel to Europe. So this is why it's so important. This is why they're going to invade. Now it's doubtful that
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you say this is why they are going to invade. Let's make sure everybody knows who they are. Go ahead.
They are Nigeria, France, and the United States.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And ECOWAS, whoever goes along with it.
Got it.
Now it's doubtful that Nigeria will allow the pipeline to cross its territory with just minimal benefit to itself and maximum benefit to Europe. Ousted President Mohamed Bazoum, a white Arab, was to become fabulously rich off of this deal, while the 99.96% of black people in Nigeria would not get any significant benefits from the pipeline. I mention this because we have a government, and a European government, that says that they're anti-racist. They are at maximum racist. Okay, they don't even care about the people in their own country. Have you noticed that the Western press has not mentioned this at all? There is no mention anywhere in the Western press about this Trans-Sahara pipeline. Not a word. Okay? They want us to think about the greedy reason why we're going to invade these people and make them submit. Okay? I think there is too much at stake for Europe to let Nigeria become a truly independent nation. I still think there will be a war in Africa, and I think it will spiral out of control. Remember the CIA-inspired Arab Spring of 2011? It started in Tunisia, spread to Libya, Egypt, and then to Syria, where it stopped. This was a manipulated crisis. What is happening in Africa is the final war of independence. What has sparked this war against the United States and NATO? Sodomy. It is our sanctioning Uganda, Kenya, and Ghana over gay rights that is the last straw for Africans. The Vice President of the United States, the cackling idiot Kamala Harris, even flew to Ghana this past summer to try to bribe Ghana's president with $20 million to veto anti-gay laws. There were widespread protests in Namibia, Botswana, and Zambia opposed to the gay rights agendas that the United States was offering their governments aid and loans to institute. Yesterday, Burkina Faso's president, Ibrahim Traoré, said this in a speech, and I'm quoting him, "We need to reconquer our own culture and take ownership. That is why today people try to make us believe that our values and our attitudes are not natural and not a part of freedom, and that there will never be a question of homosexuality for us. Let me repeat that. Homosexuality will not take root in our countries." Remember how the rest of the world characterizes the U.S. military goal as spreading LGBT culture at the tip of a bayonet? Well, it's not just conjecture. I resent the fact that the yellow and black races understand the most standout aspect of white culture is sodomy. 50 years ago, it was freedom. Now it's sodomy. Researching attitudes about why the U.S. military cannot recruit soldiers revealed that Generation Z people are wise to the sodomy now to prevent a war in our military. Generation Z is people born between 1997 and 2012 and makes up all of the military recruiting age people. Generation Z youth asks these questions. Do I want to sacrifice my life to spread sodomy across the world? Do I want to sacrifice my life to guarantee women can abort their babies? Do I want to sacrifice my life so that trannies can get bottom surgery? Do I want to die to help create the new gay world order? Just look at Generation Z and military recruiting on YouTube. The truth is out there. Even within the United States, there are many who would agree with Africa that gay is not the way. So there's some other factors too. The United States in 2019 they created the Congress made the Global Fragility Act, and this was so that they could teach the ignorant people of Guinea, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Benin, and Togo that basically they need to be gay. Okay, and we are going to do everything we can to make that happen. We will pour all of our treasury into making this happen. So today, Biden, the pedophile Biden, created another, signed another, well, no, let me get this right. Congress just passed this law today. It's called the Countering Malign Russia Activities in Africa Act, passed in Congress today, a Republican Congress, keep in mind.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what this is the act that puts us into the war in West Africa. Okay. The West African people, the West African news is abuzz about this. Like, why can't America leave them alone? You know? So, this is the route we're going. Everything we're doing, we're egging it on.
Everything.
Okay, so the war in Asia.
All the way, yes. No, you go ahead. This is fine.
So the war in Asia. Without pomp or circumstance, China and North Korea are working daily to prepare their militaries and military industry for a war with the United States, Japan, South Korea, and Australia. When you are training a military to fight, you start with the fire team level, then advance to the squad, platoon, company, battalion, regiment, brigade, division, corps, and army levels. For example, before World War II, they had this big maneuver in Louisiana before we went to the war, where the Second Army and the Third Army fought each other. And that was the buildup getting ready for the war. Keep in mind that we knew we were going to go into this war. So China has been sending their air and sea assets on drills towards Taiwan. Air Force units are squadrons with about 12 aircraft to groups with about 24 aircraft to wings with about 50 aircraft to numbered air forces with about 100 aircraft. When Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan and caused a ruckus, China was sending squadrons on training missions into Taiwanese airspace. Last week, they sent the equivalent of a numbered air force towards Taiwan. This means that they are trained up and ready to go to war. Our military knows that, but will not tell the rest of us that. North Korea has increased their missile testing, and they have had it with our even larger and longer military drills in South Korea. If you remember, Trump just stopped the drills, and that kind of made the North Koreans happy. And now what Biden has come back, he's come back and he's made them twice as big and twice as long, just to aggravate, just to provoke North Korea. Okay, they have made it clear that nuclear war is near. That was a major impetus for Kim Jong-un to travel and meet Putin. While the Western press was apoplectic about Kim supporting Putin, it is Putin that will have to supply North Korea with military ammunition. There is no way Kim would have this conversation over the phone or radio. Security insisted that it be a discussion held in person. This is discussion about nuclear war. Okay? So, the war in Europe. CNN has begun broadcasting news that Ukraine is doing great in its war with Russia, although everybody in the world knows that Ukraine has not accomplished anything. Okay? They're losing badly. They have already lost this war. Okay? But we want to send billions of dollars over there, so they have to say that the Ukrainians are kicking butt. They are not. To them, the counteroffensive is going great. I actually listened to CNN saying that the counteroffensive is going great. It's gone nowhere and done nothing. But, of course, CNN does not know what a woman is, so how would they know if a counteroffensive was going good or not? I tried to watch their absurd reports. A Ukrainian unit takes out a Russian tank, and there is a video to prove it. Right. The loss of one tank does not change anything. A Ukrainian platoon taking a Russian position is also very insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What CNN does not report, however, is that 10,000 Ukrainian troops surrendered near Bakhmut in just the last week alone. 10,000 troops. It used to be that individual Ukrainian soldiers would surrender, but now the platoon leaders and company commanders are surrendering their entire units. They want to live. That's why they're surrendering. They want to live. So in the last week, the equivalent of a Ukrainian division or three combat brigades has surrendered to the Russians. This, folks, is not just an indicator of poor morale. It is an indicator that Ukrainian soldiers know that the biggest threat to them is their own government. In Slovakia, they held elections, and the new prime minister, Robert Fico, said that he would not send a single bullet to Ukraine and would vote against the EU doing the same. He actually campaigned with the thing, "Not a single bullet to Ukraine," was his campaign slogan, and the people chose him to be the next prime minister. A new political party in the Czech Republic, the PRO, calls Ukraine a terrorist state and is against sending any aid to Ukraine. The PRO got 10,000 Czechs to protest sending aid to Ukraine on September 16th. Poland last month said it would no longer send military aid to Ukraine. This week, they finalized their inquiry into the missile attack on Poland that killed two farmers earlier this year. The report said that Ukraine intentionally fired the missile at Poland to spark a war between NATO and Russia directly. The report also said that Zelensky knew all about it. So let's look back why this has developed.
Did you see the exclusive story I had up for a couple of days about Zelensky? Two hookers went public. They were in a video interview setting. They were told that there was no camera rolling on their faces. You couldn't see them. But the camera operator had a hidden camera, and he could see them. It was an Indian journalist from India. And these two women said that they had been in 2021 to a cocaine and drug orgy that Zelensky was in full attendance at, and that he was kissing men all night and doing oral sex with men as well. And they witnessed it. They came forward with it. And no surprise to anyone. Hey, he can do whatever he wants. I don't care. But playing this role of leader of Ukraine, it's gone way past its shelf life. It's time to terminate this guy. And the fact that he's still alive should tell everyone a lot. Okay? Russia could take him out anytime they want. They never have. What does that tell
you?
Think
under the
this.
Circumstances, maybe leaving Zelensky in there is the smartest thing the Russians can do.
It's
he's inept.
Point
he
is,
doesn't know what he's doing.
He's in there at their discretion. That's all.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's look back at why this has developed. I mean, this trouble between Poland, the Slovakia, and the Czech Republic, why they're having a problem with Ukraine. So the UN insisted that Ukrainian grain be able to ship through the Black Sea to feed Africa and Asia. It claimed that people in these nations would starve. Russia agreed to allow this grain to be sold to the poorest nations on Earth. Turkey, with control over who enters and exits the Black Sea through the Strait of Dardanelles, also agreed to a mechanism to facilitate this trade. Let me go back a little bit and just mention why Turkey has to be involved. To go through the Strait of Dardanelles, there's the Treaty of Montrose of 1923. And that is, during a time of war, Turkey can prohibit warships from traveling through the strait. Okay. They can prohibit commercial ships from going through there in time of war. Okay. So in peacetime, people are supposed to be able to freely go through there. But if there's war involved, then Turkey has a say in who goes through. Okay. And this is like the British said, oh, they're going to send British war trips to the Black Sea to escort Ukrainian grain ships out. Well, no. No, that Britain can't decide that. That's up to Turkey. Turkey can ban British warships from the Black Sea. Okay, so so Turkey, with control over who enters and exits the Black Sea through the Strait of Dardanelles, also agreed to a mechanism to facilitate this trade. But it was also called for Russian grain and fertilizer exports to the global south to avert starvation. Russia was going to give this grain and fertilizer to Africa. Last month, Russia called off the deal. Over 90% of Ukrainian grain has sold in Europe, and less than 10% was sold in Africa and Asia. This because Ukraine could get higher prices in Europe. Russia was never allowed to ship their grain or fertilizer as agreed. The UN never made any effort to make the deal work as planned. The UN turned a blind eye to the greed of the Ukrainians. So this wheat flooded into Poland, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic. It impoverished their own farmers because it flooded their markets with cheap wheat. When they tried to get Ukraine to stop, Ukraine sued them in the World Trade Organization. They prohibited Ukrainian wheat. Because of this, Zelensky, in his address to the United Nations in September, said, quote, "Some of our friends in Europe play out solidarity in a political theater, turning the issue of grain into a thriller." Poland was apoplectic about this and decided to give no more military aid to Ukraine. Zelensky said this at the UN and was not called out for his treachery and not shipping it to sell in the global south where it was previously sold. Zelensky thought he could cheat and get a better deal in developed Europe. He is an evil snake. Slovakia's Robert Fico said that his people have bigger problems in Ukraine and that further casualties in Ukraine benefit nobody. Keep in mind that in this a continuing resolution to fund the government, they intentionally did not approve of the $24 billion to go to Ukraine. And they said, we have a problem at our border. We have a problem with crime. Why are we sending this money to Ukraine when we need it here desperately? So the U.S. Congress continuing budget resolution passed without appropriating any money for Ukraine. The pedophile Biden said that Ukraine will fail if we do not give them aid. Ukraine has already fallen, say some Republican congressmen. So why throw good money after bad when we desperately need these funds to deal with our problems in America? They budgeted $16 billion for disaster relief in America, but not the $24 billion that the pedophile Biden asked to throw away on Ukraine. This is the sanctions war. Russia is doing just fine, but NATO and the EU are not. We are suffering. The sanctions war may end up stifling funds for Ukraine because the West is becoming too poor to fund it. But there are positive escalations that can lead to nuclear war. The new British defense minister, Grant Shapps, said that Ukraine can use the long-range missiles that Britain has sent to attack Russia proper, and the UK may send British forces to fight in Ukraine. Grant Shapps is a Jewish Zionist. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock, who's a Marxist, also said Ukraine can use the long-range missiles to attack Russia proper. The United States is sending long-range missiles to Russia when we know for a fact that they're going to use them to, I mean, they're sending the missiles to Ukraine, and we know that we're going to use them, and they're going to use them on Russia. Ukraine said that they were going to move their long-range missile plants to Europe, that it was legal under the laws of war. Russia said that under the laws of war, they have a right to bomb those factories in Europe.
Sure they do.
Romania is moving their air defense batteries to the border with Ukraine on the Danube because Russia keeps attacking ports on the Ukrainian side of the river. If Romania shoots missiles down headed for the Ukrainian ports, then Romania is entering the war as a belligerent. Romania is a NATO nation. Under the laws of war and the NATO treaty, Russia could attack those air defense batteries in Romania, and such an attack would not be covered under NATO's Article 5. If you shoot at the Russians and they shoot back, that's not defense, okay? If things keep going like this, we may have a nuclear war by Christmas. because Christmas. We're setting up all kinds of things that are that can mm-hmm. turn bad very quickly. Okay, spiral out of control.
Right. I don't know how much more. Hi, Mitch, how many more attacks are the Russians going to absorb and turn the other cheek? How many red lines will be crossed before they finally say no more? This game is only working in one direction, and that's toward exactly what you're describing, World War III.
Right.
How much more will the Russians absorb? And as soon as Ukraine gets these missiles, they're going to use them. We know that.
Sure.
So how much more?
Sure. Well, you know, Russia's paying attention to this. Okay, listen, they even realize that the end game for the United States and NATO is a nuclear war. We want it. I mean, you know, Ukraine is the reason, is the pretext for this nuclear war. But
right.
but this thing, from the beginning, okay, we've given them shitty training. Those soldiers are not trained worth a damn. Okay, 3 days of training is not enough for anything. Okay,
no.
Not only that, but you know, Ukraine has complained that you know all the tanks that Germany sent them, well, they don't work. There's problems with them, and,
right.
and they just had a thing today where they were they've taken American gifted bulletproof vests to the Ukrainian soldiers. So they took those vests and they tested them to see what they if they would actually stop bullets. Okay, they will stop a 223 American round. They will stop a NATO 7.62 NATO round. Okay, but they will not stop a Russian AK-47 round. Okay, that's a 7.62 mm-hmm. times 39. Their mm-hmm. bullets all have iron cores in them. So, I mean, if you just go down and you buy these rounds for your AK-47 at home, they will penetrate bulletproof vests. Okay, so we give them crap.
Well, seven, okay? 223, 223, 556 is the mm-hmm. about the limit to. I've looked at a lot of vests, and mm-hmm. beyond 223, 556, they're penetratable, especially with the 7.62.
Right.
Yeah. It's true.
Oh yeah, yes, they are. So you know what they're doing is we're sending all this equipment. Say like a bulletproof vest, they run about $300-$400, something like that. Okay, so but they're sending old crappy ones and stuff. Okay, but when we send that to Ukraine, when we send a crappy tank, crappy artillery piece or anything, the Pentagon charges us, the taxpayer, full price as if it's new. That money goes into the Pentagon account so they can resupply with new weapons, new weapons and new ammunition. So we're just dumping our stuff over there. So there's no intention to send good stuff over there. I mean, listen. I went to Combined Arms and Services Staff School and stuff, and I understand how Combined Arms works and stuff. Listen, give me some artillery support and air support, and you could give me just 30 days to train some troops up, and I will make with confidence an assault on the enemy. Okay, because what's really going to make it happen is that air support and that field artillery support. Okay. So we expected Ukraine to go on this big counteroffensive without those things. Okay. So they failed because we knew they were going to fail. There's nobody with a brain would think, or nobody with a knowledge of operational art and tactics would think that the Ukrainians could possibly win, especially when Russia has a massive field artillery.
It shouldn't even be a matter of discussion anymore. The war is over.
Right.
All Ukraine can do is
over.
Sit back now, try to stabilize the front line as much as they can, and hope the Russians don't decide to roll the whole thing up, which they should have done a year ago, and then use these weapons to try to harm as many Russian civilians as they can. They'll do that. That's what they're going to do. Because it's what the U.S. tells them to do. Well, this is our war.
Right, which explains why Zelensky is still in power. because Zelensky's going to do desperate things, okay, that's going to get World War III started, okay, and then we're, you know, these people are going to say, you know, the elites, whatever, they're going to say, oh, well, it's Zelensky's fault. You know, he was an unstable guy.
I know,
he even attacked Poland and stuff. They're
going to
blame him, but it's all a setup. The war, they want this war. This war is going to happen because they want a nuclear war.
The decision was made. When, I don't know, but you're correct. You're right.
Right. So nothing is a surprise. You know, what they're doing is they're just letting it play out and stuff. Listen, we don't have any ammunition. We don't have missiles. We've got missiles for the Navy in Asia for 8 days. That's all we got. Okay?
No.
This war is a war they want America to lose. Okay.
You
they
saw
want America
about the,
destroyed.
That's right. You saw that they're now beginning to admit what we've been talking about for a long time, that a lot of Chinese are coming across the border now. They all have the same haircuts, the same tattoos, wearing the same basic clothing. These are fighters. They're here.
Mm-hmm.
They may have a million-man army already deployed in the U.S. They're not shooting,
mm-hmm.
but they're here. They're deployed. They're ready to go. That's a fact,
right.
in my view.
Well, yeah, Well, you know, why would they do that? Why would they send a bunch of Chinese people over here to raise hell? You know, for that very reason. Okay, if China goes to war with the United States, which China is going to go to war with the United States, then they want people here doing sabotage, disrupting things and stuff. You know, China's not trying to take over the United States, but it is a good idea to put infiltrators into the enemy's territory. I mean, listen, we have 7,000 miles to go across the Pacific logistically to support our war, and China only has 100 miles to support their war. 7,000 versus 100. There's no way that we can possibly win this thing against China. Okay, but it can destroy America. Okay,
they got 5.5 million minimal legal Chinese nationalists living here in the U.S. How many have come across the border? Hard to know. But let's say it's a couple hundred thousand, 100,000. That in and of itself is enough to spread around the country and cause all kinds of mayhem. Easy. And if the 5.5 million who are here legally are all CCP members or PLA, you've got, if you take 10% of that, you've got a 500,000 man army. 20%, you've got over 1 million man army here right now, ready to go. Fighting age men, ready to go. They're ready.
Right, right. And you know, listen, I was up in Boston a few years ago, and I noticed, you know, there's of course, in every big city, there's a Chinatown, a Chinese population and stuff. But there's also a Chinese Communist Party, a Chinese Marxist association in Boston. Mm-hmm. Okay. So these people are not coming to America. I'm talking about legal. Aliens coming from China to the United States legally, they come here. When they come here, okay, they are not leaving China because they're fleeing Marxism. They're not coming here for freedom, okay? If they come here and they set up a Marxist association, what are they coming here for? Why? They have a Marxist country already. Why come here to do it? So, you know, it's like there's this thing in the United States where we have to suspend belief about common sense things, okay? You know, and one of them is that, like, oh, the Chinese are coming here for freedom. No, they are not.
No, it's demonstrable
that they are not coming here for freedom.
I agree.
Okay? So, you know, all of these things one of the things is that, you know, when you look at prophecy, it talks about there's a city, Babylon, there's this lady there, and it's the capital of the world, okay? And there's seven hills there. There's seven hills in New York City. And there's many waters that come together in New York City.
Right.
Okay, and this is what the Bible describes this. This city is going to be destroyed. This is the capital of the world. Because the new capital of the world, after New York City is destroyed, will be Jerusalem. Okay.
They're seemingly getting ready right now.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I even saw somebody today that was talking about, that since we've been busy with this Ukraine war, Israel, you'll notice, has carefully kind of stayed out of the whole Ukraine thing, But what have they been doing? Well, we're busy focusing on that. What has Israel been doing? Well, they're actually trying to purge their country of Palestinians, okay? And so there was I saw this comment where they said, well, once again, in order for the Messiah to come, their Messiah, okay, in order for him to come, then he's not going to come until Israel gets rid of all these Palestinians out of Israel proper, okay, and which Israel proper to me, them means the West Bank also, okay? So it's going to be all Jewish all the way, okay?
Of course. That's it.
They're doing this because
see what they're
this
doing
is
real
a
quick, real quick. Hold on. Mm-hmm. They're now making Palestinians destroy their own homes, dismantling mm-hmm. the military. How cruel does it get?
No,
I guess
it's just,
that answers the question.
It's just, definitely. And it's like, you can see the logic of it. Going back to Rabbi Schneerson in 1994, he's saying that Christians, white people, and Muslims must be destroyed for the Jewish Messiah to come. Okay, now they're saying that actually Israel has to be all Jewish before the Messiah can come. So there's a big impetus to do this, okay? They're really focused on doing this. And keep in mind that the Jewish Messiah is not like Christ. He is a human being, okay? He is the ultimate of human becoming God, okay? But he's not actually becoming God. He just thinks that he is, and this is the curse of Zionism, is that they think and they believe that humans are God, okay? That there is no God. They're atheists. Zionism is atheistic, okay? So it's when they say Jewish, they're just talking about the Jewish tribe. They're not talking about the Jewish religion, okay? So this is all, it's their plan, and funny, but it's actually the plan that's laid out in the Bible also.
Just right there. The most difficult thing for people is time. They want to know when. Right. They actually will accept pretty much the premise that you've laid out. They say, when?
Mm-hmm.
When? We need to know when. Well, rather than start preparing, go ahead.
Which is the one thing that you can't know about. You can know how it's going to unfold.
They're never
going to
tell you the
time. You
can know
what's going to happen, but it says there that nobody knows the day or the hour. Okay. You can definitely see it coming. You can see it coming, okay? But he says that when it happens, it'll come like a thief in the night. And what that is that when nuclear war happens, it's going to be all of a sudden. It's going to be, I'm talking like, the whole war will be over in an hour between Europe and Russia. It'll be over in an hour.
You'll be surveying the results. That's all you're going to do. If you live.
Oh, sure. 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 And listen, the thing is how do people prepare for that? Well, you prepare the same way that you would prepare for anything. Because, like I said, there's only going to be about 10% of Americans will die in the actual war. 90% of Americans will die in the year after the war from starvation,
radiation.
Disease. Radiation, and lawlessness. People will be fighting each other like crazy too.
Any urban area is going to be hell on hell and worse, horrible. It'll be unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
No law and
yeah.
order. No 9/11 answers. No response. Nothing. You're on your own. And
Right. And what they want to do is they want to disarm white people. They don't want to disarm criminals. They just want to disarm white people.
Show me one country that has ever successfully disarmed criminals, the criminal class. It doesn't happen. It's not on the table. It doesn't happen.
No. Well, criminals don't obey laws. So, you know, make all the laws you want, but they don't apply to criminals.
No, they don't. All right, well, we'll see what happens. Thanks for the update, Mitch. Always really extraordinary work. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care of yourself now.
You're welcome. You too. Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson, every week, mostly every Monday. Third Monday is on Tuesday. Okay, that's Monday. We're off and running. Back with you tomorrow night in 21 hours. Thank you for being here. Share the information. Tell people about the program on the site, and we'll be trying to help. Talk to you tomorrow night. Be well.